Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with your host, psychologist Parthenia Izzard. Parthenia is a psychologist and certified natural healthcare practitioner who will show you alternative paths towards health with a holistic approach. Call in with your questions or comments at 888-235-7374. And now here's the host of Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, psychologist Parthenia Izzard.
Good evening to those of you listening to our live broadcast tonight, July 31, 2012. And hello to those of you listening to an internet archive within a few minutes of the show close or rebroadcast some other time. Great you remembered our time, Tuesday. And then, of course, Wednesday and Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. are rebroadcasts. Eastern Time, of course, here on Blog Talk Radio. And there is a link on my website. You are listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist and certified natural health care practitioner, Parthenia Izzard, on Blog Talk Radio. Obviously on the internet. To call into the program, call 619-789-6835. 619-789-6835. Or send an instant message during the show through the link on the Blog Talk Radio homepage. Now, to find the program without the link in my e-card, enter my name or the name of the program in the Blog Talk Radio search box. Now, yes, I do send out e-cards, and those e-cards go out to people who sign up for the newsletter. Now, any problems with the internet links, give me a call at 866-472-6094. Again, 866-472-6094 after the program. Now, on this program, we discuss alternative medicine therapies, related products and issues, and we do it with the experts. Now, only try the therapies shared here after consulting with your physician. Now, last Tuesday, our live guest, and that was July 10, 2012, was Jerry Gavin, author of Messages from Margaret for the year 2012 and beyond. If you missed that program, you can go to my website at www.amtherapies.com, click on the radio link to hear the show. For appointments with me, that's face-to-face or remote. Yes, I do have a virtual secure office. And for general information, call 866-472-6094. Remember, you can purchase the book I co-authored, 101 Great Ways to Improve Your Health, on my site. Again, www.amtherapies.com. Go there to make that wonderful resource a gift to yourself and or a friend. You can also follow me on Twitter, AlternativeMedi, and don't forget New Skin Supplements and Beauty Products, where beauty and wellness meet technology. Now, today, when we come back from the break, I'm going to be talking with Susan Dentino, author of Songs of My Life, Slightly Out of Tune. And at the end of the program, we will discuss the herb wintergreen and the asana, Jatara Parivartanasana. Now it's time for our wellness news. Okay, and as usual, our comes from Science Daily, and it starts out: new findings break tanning misconceptions. There's no such thing as a safe tan. Science Daily, and this was July 23rd, 2012, a new study conducted by GW School of Medicine and Health Sciences, SMHS, researchers Edward C. DeFabo, Ph.D., Francis P. Noonan, Ph.D., and Anastas Papritilov, oh my goodness, M.D., please forgive me, whoever you are, for destroying your name, Ph.D., has been published in the journal Nature Communications. Now, quote, this is the first time that UV-induced melanin formation, or tanning, traditionally thought to protect against skin cancer, is shown to be directly involved in melanoma formation in mammals, end quote, said DeFabo, who is professor emeritus at SMHS. Quote, skin melanoma is the most lethal of the skin cancers. Our study shows that we were able to discover this new role for melanin by cleanly separating UVA from UVB and exposing our experimental melanoma animal model with these separated wave bands using our unique UV light system designed and set up at GW. Dermatologists have been warning for years there is no such thing as a safe tan, and this new data appears to confirm this, end quote. Their research uses a mammalian model, to investigate melanoma formed in response to precise, spectrally defined ultraviolet wavelengths and biologically relevant doses. Now, they show that melanoma induced by ultraviolet A, 320 to 400 nm, requires the presence of melanin pigment and is associated with oxidative DNA damage within melanocytes. Now, in contrast, ultraviolet B radiation, 280 to 320 nm, initiates melanoma in a pigment-independent manner associated with direct ultraviolet B DNA damage. The researchers identified two ultraviolet wavelength-dependent pathways for the induction of CMM, and the study describes an unpredicted and significant role for melanin within the melanocyte in melanoma genesis. Quote, also new in our discovery that UV induction of melanin as a melanoma-causing agent works when skin is exposed only to UVA and not UVB radiation. This is especially important since melanoma formation has been correlated with sunbed use, as many epidemiological studies have shown. One possible reason for this is that tanning lamps are capable of emitting UVA radiation up to 12 times or higher the UVA intensity of sunlight at high noon. Melanin plus UVA is known to cause photooxidation, a suspected but still to be proved mechanism for the formation of melanoma, as we describe in our study, end quote, DeFabo said. Okay, folks, so again, ScienceDaily.com, wonderful resource for news on all levels and about many different areas, science and so forth. Very good. Okay. Our hearing live on the internet. Call in 619-789-665. We'll be back. This is the offer of Talk to My Life.
Why should you passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments? It's time to take charge of your life with preventive measures. Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies for an initial consultation. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers a holistic approach to preventive care, unlike conventional medicine that tries to correct the illness that exists instead of preventing it altogether. Don't let anyone tell you that your situation is hopeless. Alternative Medicine Therapies like Iridology, Kinesiology, Reflexology, Energy Medicine, which includes Qi Light Therapy, Acupressure, and Psychological Consultations, has an amazing track record of positive results. Why suffer when Alternative Medicine Therapies with Parthenia Izard is here to help? Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies today for an initial consultation and visit their website at www.amtherapies.com.
Or call 610-658-0135. Alternative Medicine Therapies.
Okay, you are with me, psychologist and certified natural health care practitioner, Parthenia Izard. Now, remember, on my website, www.amtherapies.com, you can preview and purchase the book I co-authored, 101 Great Ways to Improve Your Health. I mean, my chapter is naturopathy, and we know that nothing is more important than your health, but between the overburdened medical establishment, blaring, crisis-driven health headlines and our own hectic lives, finding the information you and your family need can be next to impossible. We're here to help. We'll bring together 101 of the top minds in radically different branches of the healing professions to give you 101 simple, workable ways to attack disease, overcome unhealthy habits, and live your life to its healthiest potential. Follow the link on my homepage. It is a beautiful blue book link. Okay, as I said earlier before we went to break, tonight's guest is Susan Dentino. She's an author, a motivational speaker, a radio show host. Her new memoir is entitled Songs of My Life, Slightly Out of Tune. Her mission is to make people find the humor in everyday experiences in spite of what they may be going through, and this book focuses on humor amidst adversity. Susan is also the author of the best-selling children's book, A Year of Me. This book, geared to children 4 and up, is a wonderful interactive journal that takes children through a magical year of memories and adventures. Good evening. How are you, Susan?
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I love the title, Songs of My Life. How wonderful. How did you come up with that?
You know, as I was writing the book, I found that there were different songs that would play just in my head while I was writing, and I just came up with some of the titles based on what song I was listening to. For instance, in the marriage chapter, the first dance my husband and I danced to was We've Only Just Begun, but I certainly couldn't use that. We've been married 41 years, so I added the word again. So there's a slight twist to the titles of the songs. So that's where the Slightly Out of Tune came in. But I found myself humming many of those tunes while I was writing.
Well, let me ask you this. Where are you from, and what in your youth or your young adulthood prepared you or pointed you toward what you're doing now?
I was born in Buffalo, New York. I now am a resident of Florida, so I split my time between Florida and Buffalo. I'd always been interested in writing, and most importantly, I've always kept a journal. Now we call a journal what we used to call keeping a diary, and much of what I wrote in the book is taken from those memories and the memoir that I kept while I was raising my children and more recently with what's gone on with my parents. So my education is basically a traditional graduate with an English degree, and then I became more involved in the metaphysical world later in life. I was like a flower child, so I was part of the civil rights movement and all of that in my college days, and then as I was having my family, I just felt more pulled to go to exactly what you're talking about, alternative medicines. I have a very strong belief in meditation, and I have an empowering meditation technique that I've trademarked that I also talk a little bit about in Songs of My Life. So what I feel this book is all about is that it combines really our day-to-day experiences with humor, and then also gives you some tools that you can use to get to that place of serenity where no matter what's going on in your life, you can find an inner peace with it.
Well, it definitely does have a sense of humor, folks. You will enjoy reading it and chuckle as you go, and it is not going to take you forever to learn what it is she's trying to impart. I like nothing lightens the soul like laughter is one of her first opening remarks, which sort of sets the tone or at least lets you know what to anticipate. You just so that the listeners have an idea of the way you think, I would like to just say the headings, the songs, say the headings for the different chapters, and then we can just sort of go through and talk about different things in the book. Now, chapter 1 is Just the Way You Are. Chapter 2, Teach Your Children Well. Chapter 3, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Chapter 4, Release Me and My Parents. Chapter 5, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Chapter 6, Let's Get Physicals. That's with an S, folks. Chapter 7, We Are Family on Vacation. Chapter 8, Forever Young. Chapter 9, We Have Only Just Begun Again. Chapter 10, Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Chapter 11, His Way. chapter 12, a few of my favorite things. Wonderful. There's so much in here that I think is going to be interesting and helpful. Midway of the hour, I want you to share all of your contact information and such. So we're going to get to all that kind of thing. But for now, just the way you are.
That I really wrote as my first chapter because it was such a huge part of my life. I was never what you would call a traditionally thin person, and I have had a weight challenge a good part of my life. And I found as I got older and I was looking back at it, it had colored so many of the times in my life that should have been joyous. And I would lose the weight and expect everything to be different and to feel different, and I'd find that that wasn't the case. So I really started on a self-exploration where I started looking at what it was about myself that I didn't like, and I found that it had a lot more to do with than just my physical appearance, because there was often times when I was at the quote-unquote proper weight and I still didn't like what I saw in the mirror. So I began to just learn to accept myself just the way I was, thus the title. And it's interesting because when I originally used that song, I was referring to the Billy Joel song, but then Bruno Mars came out with a great song with the same title. So whatever song appeals the most to you, but it's just learning to look in the mirror. And I always say that there's times that we look in the mirror and say worse things to ourselves than we would ever say to our worst enemy. So I really believe so strongly in looking in the mirror, and no matter what kind of a night you've had as far as sleep goes or anything, find something that you like and start your day in a positive way, accepting yourself the way you are, because I feel that just having been up and down the scale as many times as I have been, that it's not about the pounds. It's about what you feel about yourself from the inside out.
Very good. Now, in the next chapter, and I especially like this chapter because it sort of guides parents in a direction they tend not to want to go. But I'll let you explain. The title again, Teach Your Children Well.
Well, I was under the misguided notion as I go through in that chapter that as my children aged, I was still under some type of law that I had to keep them happy at all times. And I cite quite a few examples where I fell flat on my face with that. So I began to realize that they had really reached an age where they were on their own journey and I had to let them go, trusting that what I had taught them was enough to keep them going, and whatever else they were experiencing was part of their own journey. And I talk in that chapter as well about grandchildren, which I think is the greatest invention of all time. I wish I would have started with grandchildren, because if you can skip the middle step, that would be a wonderful thing. That is raising your own children. But you have so much more. Personally, I feel I have so much more wisdom at this age where you look at the children and you realize what the things are to get upset about and the other things to just let go. So that chapter is really about taking a look at your children, especially as they age and reach adulthood, and knowing when you should get involved and shouldn't get involved.
Mm-hmm. I think parents definitely tend to lose sight of the fact that they're children, and then they become adults. And at some point, you have to let them be adults. So hopefully, they won't be so dependent on you that when you're not there to catch them, they can function and be successful. And I think that's the transition that a lot of parents have a hard time making. But you talk about it in a wonderful way. Moving on, don't worry, be happy. How in the world do you get people to that place?
And as I say in the book, I was a master worrier. If they were giving doctorates for that, and I'm sure I know now, right? As my children are reading this book, I know they rolled their eyes at that one because they still do consider me a worrier. But I am much better than I used to be. I've worked through it. And what's interesting, in my opinion, about the book is that it was written over quite a long span of time. I mean, probably, the the words themselves didn't take that long, but that was written over many years. So I really talk a lot about the experiences that I had, but you really realize again as you get older how much time you wasted worrying about things, because the things you worried about 9 times out of 10 didn't happen, mm-hmm. and then the other things that you never in a million years would have expected show up. So I think if you're that type of person, it's difficult to get to a place where you can say you're totally carefree, but I think there is a way that you can prioritize how much time you spend worrying and really release it. And it's true, because in the book, I write this, and everything in the book is true. I might have, you know, exaggerated a little bit, but for the most part, it's true. And when I was younger, I used to wake up in the morning and think, okay, what was I worrying about right before I went to sleep, and then resume, you know, so it was like a constant, you know, a constant record playing in my mind. Again, meditation helped me quite a bit with that, learning to get to a place where you really just let it go. So that helped as well. But it was just, again, realizing those little hints that finally, you know, lightly tap you on the shoulder and say, you know what, this is wasting way too much time.
Well, now, since we're talking about sons and daughters, what did they have to say, or did you even pass this by them when you were writing the book? I mean, were there some things they didn't want you to share, or they had a problem with you sharing, or how did you navigate that piece?
I was very cautious with it because I really did not want anybody to feel that there was anything in the book that they would be embarrassed by. I purposely don't name any of the names of my children. I must admit, my middle daughter is an attorney, and she's been going through with a fine-tooth comb. So I was very careful that I did not name anybody. The only name I use is my brother's at the end of the book, and it's obvious why I did use his name. But that is a concern, because there were some chapters that I was